Welcome to another Crittenden Press podcast. Today we have with us Representative Lynn Beckler of the 4th House District, who is a resident of Dykesburg and serves Crittenden County. Representative Beckler, tell us a little bit about what's going on down on the farm, I guess, while you're off this week. I know you have some horses down there that you care for.
Yeah, I do, Chris. Actually, I don't live in Dykesburg. I live between Francis and Dykesburg, about halfway. I have two Clydesdales and a Percheron, and you know, they eat quite a bit. This weather has been hard on them, of course, and so it's been a matter of making sure they have enough hay and alfalfa to keep warm during the weather. You know, we go down and feed them about twice a day. I do find it interesting that, you know, they have access to the barn 24/7, but frequently they'll stay out if they're, I don't know if they don't like to hear the sound of the rain or sleet or whatever on the roof, but they stay out quite a bit. They come in to eat, and, you know, they stay warm by eating, but it is not like today, for example, when I was down there feeding this morning and working with them. They had, all of them had some sort of icicles on. When I got down, they weren't in the barn. They were outside waiting for me, almost like they were saying, come on, I'm hungry, let's get going here. But they're doing well.
Good. Perhaps they're observing the protocol, no indoor dining, and to be outside as much as you can.
It could be. They weren't wearing any mask either, so I don't know what to say about that.
Well, you're on. I guess a little bit of a unexpected vacation from the General Assembly this week. The weather is so bad across Kentucky that they've sent everyone home. So you'll go back Monday, right, is the next day?
Right. Yeah, so, we go back Monday. The I don't know that I go so far as to call this a vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Between the work that has to be done at home, and I'm sure, you know, everybody who has a farm understands that, but I'm still getting phone calls and emails from folks in the 4th District, and, you know, I'm in communication with other representatives in the leadership. So as much as I'd like to be on vacation, I don't think I could actually call it quite that.
Well, this week you sent you write regularly in our newspaper, have a standing column in the paper during sessions of the General Assembly. And this week you sent two, and we put one online and we put one in the newspaper. The one online deals with the unemployment insurance issue, and I know that's something that you would like to talk about today.
Yeah, I would. The unemployment problem in Kentucky goes much further than people just being out of work and businesses closing down, like we were teasing before about restaurants opening. The issue is people losing their jobs, businesses being forced to close, and people who have lost their jobs or been laid off trying to collect unemployment insurance. Now, I've had a number of committee meetings, both committee meetings that I chair and other committees that I'm on, that have been trying to get to the bottom of some of the problems that people are having. I am in contact daily with folks in the district who are really struggling, suffering, trying to get their unemployment compensation, and they're getting nothing from the state government. Sadly, the General Assembly really hasn't been contacted or kept in the loop about what is going on a regular basis with the unemployment insurance problem, which is why we've had so many committee meetings trying to find out what it is. In the committee meetings, we kept getting told that there may be 60 or 80,000 unresolved claims. The auditor, which is an independent agency in the state, part of the executive branch, but an independent agency, just did an audit, required to do a statewide single audit of Kentucky for every fiscal year. And in that particular audit, he found there were 25 findings, half of them dealing with problems within the unemployment insurance office and the unemployment insurance fund. The auditor was able to find that it wasn't in fact 80,000 or 60,000 that we'd been told in committee meetings, but over 100,000 claims were still unresolved. And worse than that, over 400,000 emails were never even looked at by the Unemployment Insurance Office. These are folks that are in dire straits. A number of them, you know, are down to their last dollar. They're trying to make a mortgage payment, a rent payment, pay for electric and gas. And it's just unconscionable to me that the office had really ignored over 400,000, that's right, 400,000 emails and communication from folks who were just trying to find out why they haven't received their unemployment compensation. A ton of money has been spent on this issue to no avail. I think over $20 million, or approximately $20 million, was paid for over three separate times to Ernst & Young to try and help resolve the problem. And obviously, with over 100,000 claims still unresolved, some going as far back as March and April, it's obvious that that $20 million, if it did anything, did not do very much. From a historical perspective on this, the unemployment compensation issue of the office started out in the office of Lieutenant Governor Jacqueline Coleman. And it got so bad there that Governor Beshear took it away from her and moved it over to the Labor Cabinet, which is where it is now. During the audit, it was found that there was an overpayment of about, I think, $166 million, something in that range, for people who actually were not supposed to get unemployment compensation, but did. That issue comes from the fact that there is something called auto pay. And let me back up. I said $166 million were claimed. It's actually $655 million in claims were paid while this auto pay process was going on. And many claims were valid, but many weren't. As an example, the auditor tried to get a sense of how big the problem the auto-pay approach was. And the auto-pay basically just said if somebody made a claim, we automatically pay them. And, you know, this is on top of the fact that we still have all those claims that are still in limbo out there. So the auditor's office, after seeing the auto-pay, how the auto-pay approach was, they just randomly sampled 37 cases. Of those 37 cases, they found 16 people were paid unemployment benefits for the loss of part-time jobs besides still being employed. The overpayment, the net overpayment for this was more than $116,000. And right now, nobody really knows how much the overpayment is for people, or, you know, how many people tried to collect or not. An issue with that is that right now folks are getting letters saying that they have to pay back what they were overpaid. And this is due to a federal, the federal law has said if people were overpaid, they don't, the state does not have to claw the money back. But there are 10 states, Kentucky being one of them, where that law is not in effect. So we will probably take a look at it during session. Mm-hmm. For example, some of the claims were made where people were told by the governor that, you know, if you're afraid of getting COVID, then you don't have to go in. You can file for unemployment. So, you know, people have filed for unemployment even though they weren't unemployed because they were laid off. So it is just truly, truly a mess. So, I think that the auto-pay program is probably all part of the reason why there have been three times where someone who has filed a claim reported, who knows how many weren't reported, anyway, reported that they were able to see Social Security numbers and other personal identity information that belonged to other people. So, and the issue there is there's really, it wasn't reported in a timely fashion either. So we have that. Businesses are really suffering because, you know, pay unemployment insurance does not come out of an employee's paycheck. It's totally paid for by the employer. Now, I don't mean to imply that if there wasn't an unemployment insurance issue, that people, you know, might or might not get paid more. But in any event, there's an unemployment insurance that each company has to pay, and that total unemployment insurance is so bad that the governor's had to take out loans from the federal government to shore up the trust funds. And these loans have to be repaid. And the loans are already over $700 million, and you know, I'm sure they're going to grow because unemployment numbers continue to remain high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know our payment has gone, our premium payment has gone up through almost fourfold.
Yeah. And there is there's a formula that says it's, you know, it has to be repaid, and it'll probably go up more. So I mean, it's truly a mess. Mm-hmm. By going up, you know, could easily lead to businesses closing or eliminating positions. So this whole unemployment insurance compensation has been a mess. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there's another word to describe it other than mess. I suppose I could get really creative and come up with words that maybe I ought not to say.
Well, to be completely fair, this is a great anomaly. There was a landslide of claims that overwhelmed the system. And certainly anytime you have a number, such a large volume, it's going to expose your cracks. But these are gaping holes that clearly exist and have to be patched up. But I think the most egregious is what you talked about, the 400,000 emails. People will give you a pass, I think. They understand to be patient in times like this. But when you don't give them the courtesy of responding to their email saying, give me another week and I'll get back to you, people have a problem with that. The question I've got to ask, are those emails, you know, I get a lot of emails every day. 90% of mine's junk. I filter through it and I read the 10% that are important. So of those 400,000 emails, are all those emails from people who are filing claims, or does that include other types of email that went to the office that just wasn't read?
I can't tell you exactly because they were unread. We have, you know, the auditor hasn't gone through, and I don't know that the unemployment office has gone through all 400,000 of them by this time.
Yeah.
But through my conversations and communications with folks here in the 4th District, I'm confident that a large majority of them are from Kentuckians who were trying to get answers. I know that when you know, I talk to people here in the district, the frustration is just unbelievable. Emails aren't returned or responded to. They can't get a live person. They may get they'll call up to try and have a claim, and then they'll be told that your claim is being processed or your claim is being held up for further information. But they can never get to a person to actually find out what the issue is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that has to have a real hard look taken at it as well.
Yeah, certainly frustrating for those people, as you say, who are out of work and needing to pay their bills. I know so many other things are going on in Frankfort, so we seldom get an opportunity to talk like this. Are there any other issues that will affect Crittenden Countyans on a daily basis that we might discuss?
Well, from a perspective of directly affecting Crittenden Countyans, I would say, and even though this is in the work is going on in Livingston County, the new bridge that's going over the Cumberland River there really impacts folks here in Crittenden County. I mean, people go over that bridge every day, and I know that when I go over it, I always thinking about the bridge that collapsed in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, several years ago. So I think that is a real big issue for folks in the county. Everything else, you know, we've done some work trying to get some bridges repaired in the county. You know, I get a lot of conversation or communication on roads, and I find it really interesting that the and it's understandable that elected officials, you know, are looking to get more money to take care of the roads, but I'm getting unsolicited emails from people saying, "Don't raise the taxes." You know, don't raise the gas tax. You know, during the pandemic, and gas prices have gone up, you know, since the election, that people just can't afford an increase in gas tax. So I think that's going to be an ongoing issue that we're going to have to get resolved in some fashion or another.
Yeah, I know it's that's greatly affected the road fund here. I think to the tune of, I want to say, $10 to $20 million over the last few years. I know it's an issue here when they start trying to keep roads maintained.
All right. You know, it's definitely an issue. The irony about all this is that if you take a look at the transportation budget, we keep coming in a little over budget. If I could wave a magic wand, I would put the transportation budget into the general fund, just like everything else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when a need arose for transportation or a need arose for pensions, then the legislature could take a look at that and make a determination how much we give here and how much we give there. But the way it's currently set up, you know, the transportation funding is essentially on its own. Each department within the state, whether it be you know, Kentucky State Police or some other organization, they ultimately get some money from the transportation department because they're on the road. And I think we need to take a look at that and make sure that the funds that are being put out there, whether regardless of the department that travels, you know, we need to make sure that those are reasonable amounts.
So in closing, let's talk about one of the issues that I probably hear as much about here in Crittenden County, and that's the fact that the legislature passed some new laws restricting the governor's executive powers, and the governor vetoed them, and then they were promptly overridden by the legislature. So talk a little bit about those. I know they're at least one or two of them are on being tested in court. And what do you see the outcome of that?
Well, I think actually three of the bills, as you mentioned, are in court. I'm not sure, but the court filings were so quickly done after we overrode the vetoes that part of me thinks that what the governor was doing, rather than trying to work on some things to regarding the Commonwealth, is more interested in trying to file an appeal. So I really don't know what's going to happen. The Supreme Court of Kentucky has said in the past that the current laws, etc., allow the governor to do what he's done. So it's going to be interesting. I'm not an attorney, and as the joke goes, I don't play one on television. Mm-hmm. So I really don't know what I don't have a good feel on what the court's going to do. One last thing that I forgot to mention when we were discussing unemployment is I have filed a bill that passed out of committee that would restore the licenses and have fines repaid to any business that lost a license or was fined as a result of the executive orders brought about by the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So I'm hopeful that that'll help too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Representative Beckler, we appreciate the work you do in Frankfort on our behalf, and enjoy your farm this week and your horses while you're here.
Well, I enjoy them. It's a good thing that we're not doing this on camera, because I don't think I'm presentable to be on camera right now after coming back from the barn.
Well, maybe next time I will come down and we'll do that. We'll do a video, and I'll go out to the barn with you and see what it's like down on the Beckler farm.
That'd be fine.
All right. Well, we appreciate your time, Representative Beckler.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you, Chris. Take care.